I think, in fairness, I should let you know that one of the best things for me is sharing the Word of God with the Lord's people. It's not only good therapy, I feel like I'm really doing what the Lord wants me to do, rather than be confined to walls and be inside and very difficult. The 7 weeks, it, night after night, and the early hours of the morning when I waken, they're my most difficult periods. But when I get into the book and when I get up here to share it, you have no idea what a relief it is for me to do it. So I don't want you to, to feel sorry for me because I'm ministering. God gives special grace for these occasions, for this time. And I'm so happy for the privilege of being able just to open the book. I do my weeping at night and early hours of the morning. I never weep in the presence of Emily. Because believe it or not, she's worried about me. And I don't want that, And I tell the children, try not to weep in their presence either. And so they've been very good. Thank God for Susanna. She sleeps a night or two, and I take a night. And like that, we are able, both of us, get rest through the night. So the Lord is working it out quite nicely. And Emily's in good spirits. And I put on a Gaither tape tonight, the vocal band. She said she would like to have one played, and so I put it on. Not the Gaithers, but another quartet. It's kind of jazzed up. I like lively music, but I don't like jazzed up music myself. And so I very seriously said, they must be from the Brethren. And she quickly retorted, no way! But I did it purposely, of course. She still has a sense of humor, and I really appreciate that. Somebody prayed about a quiet spirit, and that's true. That's Emily Perry. But she knows she's very ill, but she doesn't know how ill. And we've tried to sort of spare her of that. Dr. Shea said he didn't see any purpose in going into detail all that's wrong with her. I won't be saying this anymore, but just so that you would know that if you're in the presence, be very careful how you speak. And by the way, God's people have been so kind, and she's enjoyed the visits. And when she gets restless, and we know she has pain, of course she takes her medication. But she's really enjoyed you dear ones when you've come and just visited her. She really has enjoyed every one of you. I'm thankful for your kindness in more ways than one. But it's all in the service of the Lord. It's because of the body of Christ. When one member hurts, we all hurt, don't we? That's one of the truths that the world doesn't understand. You see, that's what makes the body of Christ so precious. And if the body feels that way, how do you think our head feels? The Lord Jesus himself. You know he cares, doesn't he? Won't you turn tonight in 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, just for our meditation, we look at a man who was mightily used of God, but he was a human being. He was a man like us. He had his moments of doubt, he had his moments of discouragement, and Elijah knew what it was to really become a recluse, as it were, hide in a cave and run from a woman, terribly disappointed, and even in the ministry to a degree. But here in the opening part of the ministry or the life of Elijah, it's very interesting, and what we want to do is just share a few thoughts in about the first 8 or 9 verses of the chapter. That's 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have, as I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion to our hearts. Tonight's title of our little talk will be The Brook Dried Up. Now, the first thing we notice is that God gave him a command, go. And his covenant was, I will feed thee. Beautiful, isn't it? You go, you just obey my command, I'll take care of all of the circumstances, Elijah, but you go. People who are involved in the work of the Lord around the world have learned this to a great degree. Many of them have left their homes. They've sort of cut the bridge behind them. And they've gone with their meager means, perhaps suitcases or a large trunk, and they've taken everything out to foreign lands because they had a command from the Lord, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are missionaries around the world who are serving the Lord under such terrible circumstances. But the only thing is, go, go. Which reminds me of a ship that was shipwrecked, and there were men, of course, lives were threatened to be lost, not too far from a beach, out to the breakers, the reef. And there are some men that got together. And one man said, I don't know if we'll make it back. And the leader of the group says, don't worry about whether we come back, but we have to go. And with that spirit, with that mind, those men jumped into the lifeboat and went out. They rescued quite a few. Some were lost. Some were lost. Now, one man who hesitated and didn't want to go, finally he went. But he grumbled. And would you believe that when they brought the men to shore, one of the men on that lifeboat happened to be his brother that the mother and that young man thought had been drowned years ago. They hadn't heard from him. They hadn't seen him. And for 3 years, they thought he was dead. And can you imagine the reaction of the brother? When he went home and told his mother about it, he said, Mother, I almost failed to go out and rescue my own brother. Well, be that as it may, it might be a weak illustration, but the thought is, when God gives a command to do it, do it. Like Mary said of the Lord Jesus, when to establish or fill up the water pots, whatsoever he commands you to do, do it. And that's the thing that we all learn in life. It's just obeying the command of God. The hymn suggests that tonight. Trust and what? Obey. Obey the will of God. Obey the word of God. Obey the command of God. And sometimes it may be something that a menial task. It may not be a glorious or glowing. It may not be in the limelight. It might be behind the scenes, unappreciated type of ministry or work. But God says, go and do it. Do it heartily, Colossians, as unto the Lord. And so whatever we do, do it heartily unto him. And you know something? It's a lot easier. If you do it grudgingly, if you do it hesitatingly, if you do it because of coercion, you feel you've got to do it out of let's say, coercion or being forced to do it, it's no good. It's no good. It must be a spontaneity in the heart. We must want to. There must be a desire and a joy to do it. And that's what God appreciates, and that's what God will bless and reward in a coming day. The Lord Jesus said there were two brothers. One of them, when he gave the command to do something, he said, I won't go. The other one said, Lord, I will go. Or to his parent, I will go. Now the one who said he would go failed to show up or go. The other one who said he wouldn't did. Remember that little parable he gave? But listen, when God gives a command, just do it. You may not get the approval of everybody around you. You might not even get the praise of the masses of people around you, but just do it. Remember, you got God's approval, and you'll get God's praise in the coming day. Many times we look too much on the horizontal. We look down here. If you do that, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disillusioned. And the work is not going to be very, very happy. You're not going to be happily engaged in the work of God. No one said it's going to be easy. Some of you dear ones who work with young people, you know what I'm talking about. No one said working with young people is going to be easy, but it's going to be rewarding. Rewarding in seeing a life change, to see character develop. But above all, doing the will of God. As already prayed tonight, Brother Ross prayed for the Sunday school teachers. Doing the work of God. A worthy vocation. Of course, there are all kinds of spheres of service. May God just help us to obey the command. He said, go, Elijah. The second thing is, I'll take care of you. God will never send us or command us to do anything, but he always accommodates us with the necessities of doing that thing. Now, he may put us to a test. And I appreciate Elijah here because of his obedience. He didn't question God by some scientific approach. And when he said, ravens are going to feed you, these are birds of prey. That's an unclean beast, an unclean creature, rather. And Elijah could have questioned that, but he didn't. I'm going to have ravens to feed you. You see? Well, God did quite a bit of this in Elijah's life. First, he uses a bird. Then he uses a starving woman. And in the later part of his ministry, he used an angel to feed him. But that's the way the Lord operates. Now, he's comfortable. Here's a point that's very vital that I want to make. He's so comfortable, he's getting used to this provision. He's so comfortable, he's enjoying what God is now doing for him. There's nothing wrong with that, but listen, it says, but then the brook dried up. Some of us know what it is to have the brook dried up in our life. Spiritually speaking, that is. You've been discouraged. You find it difficult. You have problems, family problems, children that are not going on the way you would like, and you pray, and seemingly there's no answers coming to your prayer. God doesn't want us to give up, but just hang in there, keep at it. And God is going to reward you. He's going to honor you. But it seems like the brook has dried up in your life. And you're so discouraged. And because we're human, we're like that. He may allow something else in our life that's very traumatic. And we come to a place and our comfortable circumstances all of a sudden has been disrupted and the brook's dried up. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It's not enjoyable. But what is God teaching Elijah? Now, Elijah, you leaned on the bird. Every morning it brought you food and every night it brought you food. The brook was filled with water. You drank and you drank and you drank. And now he's saying, I'm going to dry it up. And the bird isn't going to come and bring you any more food. And all of a sudden, God had disrupted his comfortable position or circumstances in life. Boy, what a blow it was to the servant of God. Well, yet in all of this, his faith is developed. We were on faith Sunday morning, and Brother Charles ended his sermon series, I presume. I only heard one on faith. And so the same man's faith is greatly exercised. He has what we call a personal faith now. He believes God. He doesn't know where to go from there, except if God says, I want you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow woman. I'm going to get her to sustain you. How could a woman sustain him? And she didn't have anything herself. She was a starving woman. But his faith was so personal between him and God that he believed that the Lord was not going to send him anywhere, but he was going to accommodate and was going to provide for him. And you know the story well, how that turned out. Now, there was also communal faith with others, of course. He shared with that dear woman and her son. And you know, we can't help other people if we're not blessed ourselves. Let me repeat that. It is difficult to bless other people unless you are blessed yourself. It's difficult to share in people's sorrows unless you've gone through sorrow yourself. It is very difficult to talk about the trials of an individual that you're trying to comfort when you've never had a trial yourself. I often tell people that I'm a specialist in certain fields. For instance, I'm a pneumonia specialist. Anybody has pneumonia? I can get right near them. I could talk. I can relate. Because I nearly died with double pneumonia. And four months after I came out here in 1957 in Princess Margaret Hospital, I was reminded of that recently when Emily had an operation there. I was almost in the same room. And so I'm a specialist in that field. I think I'm safe in saying that I'm even a specialist if a person loses a child. But I'm not a specialist in every field of trial or suffering. A father, a mother, yes, even a brother. I can relate because I've been there. I've been through that. And you have been through circumstances and trials that you can relate to, even to others. And I can't, you see. And so God is going to use you in your particular field to bless somebody because you've known the blessing of the Lord. You've been through a road no one else has been, and he's going to bless and reward you because you've been through that road. But if you've never been through that road, it's very difficult. It's difficult for you to say, I know what you're going through. You don't know what the individual is going through. You see, you don't. You may think you do. But if you've been through the similar circumstance, yes, you can say, I know what you're going through, my brother. I know what you're going through, my sister. The brook dried up. Where is he going to turn? To the Lord. God says, I want you to lean on me, Elijah. You've leaned on the bird. You've leaned on the brook. But I want you to lean on me now. Trust me. And unswerving faith possesses the life of this great man of God. And I really appreciate him. And he accepted what the Lord said. And remember now, before the king, he says, oh, your majesty, if I may use the term, there will be no rain. But what Elijah failed to understand at that particular time, the thing he prayed for, now he is going to suffer as a result of no rain. The brook dried up. He prayed for something that he had an answer, but he himself had to go through the same period of disaster, as it were, you see. Let me just say that Elijah prayed, and it was answered, because he prayed according to the word of God. A lot of people may wonder about that. How come a man just, not out of the blue, but just prays, there's going to be no rain? Why would he pray that prayer? Simply because he had read no chapters in Deuteronomy then, but he'd read Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30, because in those passages of Scripture, God said that if Israel ever got away from the Lord, departed from my commandment, he said, I'll send blasting, I will send mildew, and no rain. Israel were in the worst spiritual condition at this particular time. So Elijah knew he was praying according to the will of God, and he was praying according to the word of God. And he said, there'll be no rain. And that's the reason why God answered. It's always good, isn't it, to pray according to the will of God and according to the Word of God. It brings us closer to Himself, and we learn to lean on Him, and He helps us because we are familiar with the Word of God. And by the way, I shouldn't use the word "by the way." It's nice to be saturated with the Word. You can never have too much of the Bible. Now, we live in an age where, and I want to be very respectful here, we live in an age where we had a lot of emotionalism. Everything is spirit, 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 you know, and not much of the Word, Word, Word. And or you may have a lot of the Word and little of the Spirit working in that Word. And what happens? Well, if we are just saturated with the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and we have a mental belief of the Word of God, we can quote Scripture, and we know where to turn in our book. If we're not careful, it could produce legality in my heart. Legality. And what happens? With all the Word I have, I could dry up. But we got people who seem to sacrifice the Word of God, not much of the Word. You listen to some of them as they preach, you know, and the emphasis is on the Spirit, 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 and they don't give much in their preaching at all. The Word, they seem to be very shallow. I said I was going to be respectful and be very careful here. And so everything is Spirit, 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 Spirit. What happened? You got people who, what we call, they flare up. One will dry up, and the other will just flare up. Next day, I wonder if that flare is still there. Be that as it may, when both are combined, when the Holy Spirit takes possession of my life and I'm saturated with the Word of God, you know what will happen? I'll grow up. Spiritual maturity. There's a danger of drying up. There's a danger of just flaring up. But it's far better to have a balance in our life where we'll grow up to spiritual maturity. And Elijah had to learn that lesson, of course. He had to learn that lesson. And so, as the brook dried, isn't it nice to know that our brook never dries? The Lord Jesus, the water of life. He that drinketh of me, told the woman. If you knew who it was that asked you a drink of water, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. Ah, give me this water, Lord. She went away rejoicing. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? She ran away. She left her water pots behind, apparently, because she got real water now. There is the brook experience, or the stream experience. There is the river experience in the Christian's life. River of living water. Not just a stream now. We're born with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the Word is likened to water there in John 3. But it's nice to know that we graduate, we go on onto streams, which speaks of peace. And then the rivers, not turbulence, but a river that's flowing, flowing with the Word of God, flowing with the Spirit of God, and flowing with joy, flowing with real power and enthusiasm. That's the river experience of the Christian. There's the overflowing experience as well. There are some Christians who do overflow with the Holy Spirit of God, and they're happy and they're rejoicing in the Lord. And so when the brook dries up, not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always be with you and in you. But circumstances sometimes becomes very, very difficult, and we find our brook dries up. Well, the Lord always comes in the right time, the appropriate time. Occupied with Him. I often refer people to be very, very careful not to be occupied with the blessings as much as the blesser, not so much as the gifts, but the giver. And when we can do this, our hearts will indeed rejoice in the Lord. A drought can be very, very difficult in one's life. I remember reading about We're talking about circumstances now that alters our life and things become very difficult. But there was a wealthy man that lost everything he had. And so he got with his children a lot more, his boy in particular, and he spent a lot of time with the boy. They were playing what father and sons would normally do. And they had a wonderful time, even though he'd lost practically everything in life. And the father was so struck. One day, the boy was enjoying his daddy so much, and he turned to his father and he said this, and no reflection on getting rich. He said, "Daddy, don't get rich again." Had tears in his eyes. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches, please. But I know a lot of rich people who spend a lot of time with their families. They're just by no means reflective of to think that rich people don't have any enjoyment with their children. God forbid. No. But in this particular case, he was away on trips a lot. He was away in business. Everything was business, business, business. Left early in the morning, didn't see the children. Got home late at night, didn't see the children. And it was just no fellowship with his family. I cannot imagine how that father felt when that boy with tears in his eyes said, "Daddy, don't get rich again." But let's forget the rich for a moment. Are there circumstances that we're so wrapped up in? Are there things that we're so occupied with and in, even poor people? You don't have to be rich. Am I occupied with things to a point as distracting and blinding me? And I'm neglecting the most important thing in life. Do you know, even in evangelism for 47 years, that even the preacher stands to be guilty sometimes of being so involved in the work of God and neglects his family? Did you know that? That's why every time I look at Emily, I have to turn my head and sometimes lift my heart up and thank the Lord who stood by the children for all those years, you know, when I was away. Tell you, if any blessing on the road, she's going to get the reward. She'll get the reward for that. But many times that even the work of God can be in the way if we're not careful. But the Lord has his way of working that out, I'm sure. The whole idea here is let the Lord have his way and bless us, even when the brook dries up. Trust him for all of these things. And don't allow yourself to get discouraged to a point where you're not going to be happy or enjoy the Lord. And just go on for him and be the channel as he has asked us to be. I just trust him for all things, no matter what it is, what are your circumstances. No matter what your needs are, just trust him. You don't have to blow your trumpet. You don't have to sound your problems even, or I should say your needs to the world. Trust the Lord, and he'll help you, and he'll meet your needs. That's why I get a little uptight when I listen to radio or television things, and everything hinges around money, and we're going to have to go off the air if we can't have this and we can't have that. And to me, it's a reproach to the name of Christ. If you believe God has got you doing something, you must also believe that God is going to accommodate and furnish the need. And to me, it produces a blemish on the work of God and on the very character of God. Because if God has called us to do something, he is going to pay for the expenses of that particular thing. And we need to trust the Lord for it. Anyhow, didn't really mean to mention that, but we could learn to trust him for everything. When we wholly trust him, like Mary Magdalene, she loved the Lord. I have no doubt in my mind she really loved him. But she said something that I only want to apply. She said, "Tell me, where have you taken away my Lord that I might come and bear him away?" I use that as an illustration. Is there anything that's taken away our attention from the Lord? Not necessarily taking us away from the Lord, but just our attention, our focus, our love, our very life, taking away our desire. And perhaps this is the most serious, nitty-gritty part of our Christian life. A desire to serve the Lord. A desire to do what He wants us to do. Mary Magdalene says, "They have taken away my Lord." Now, you know what I mean by that, don't you? What has taken, let's say, the vision away? What has taken away the love of the Lord from our hearts? Not suggesting for a moment that we're guilty of this, but each one of us can search our hearts tonight. And we can ask, "Yes, Lord, I don't want anything to rob me of that fellowship with you." You know, Saul was impatient, King Saul, and he wouldn't wait for Samuel, the priest and judge of God. And so Saul says, "I don't need you, Samuel." So he went ahead and he rushed into an area as well as into activities that were totally forbidden by God. And God had rejected him and cut him off. Couldn't wait, you see. Uzziah, even in worship, he went into the temple and the priest held on to him and pulled him back. "No, don't do it. Don't do it. Let me go. I don't need the priest. I don't need anyone. I am the king." So Uzziah goes into the tabernacle. But when he comes out, plagued with leprosy. You know, it's just something that they need they needed anyhow to understand. God has His principle. He has His way. And you cannot be impatient and be false in your endeavors for the Lord. Okay, so I think I'm going to finish here. The message isn't finished, but sufficient to say that God blessed him, and later on in that same portion that we read about, where in the time of drought, Elijah's roots ran deeply. And the true source of strength was in the Lord. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. And you can drink and drink and drink and never exhaust the well of the Lord. And our hearts could be encouraged in that, and we can trust Him. And we'll know that the Lord will always provide for us day by day. If the brook is dried up in your life and you feel discouraged, no matter what that is, it might be that experience might come your way. Remember, He is a source of blessing. He is a river. He is a stream of refreshing life and substance. And He's there to just bless us continually. You can never exhaust the resources that God has. Never, never. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to trust Him. May God do that for us. May your brook be filled and running over for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for your precious word, perhaps given very weakly, but you know our hearts, and we just pray. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight discouraged. There might be somebody here who longs to see more answers to prayer. Oh, God, how we pray, just fill to overflowing. Let your blessings abound. Let your word have free course. And pray, Father, for it. All of us, that we might be totally committed to Thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, giving you our heartfelt thanks. Amen.